Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, getting away with murder. America has a homicide epidemic. Statistics state if you murder someone, you have about a 40 to to 60% chance of getting away with it, depending on where you are. The Conversation 2017 states, Americans are 128 times more likely to be killed in everyday gun violence than by any act of international terrorism. And a black person living in an urban area is almost 500 times more likely to be killed by everyday gun violence than by terrorism. From the FBI Criminal Justice Information Service Division, regarding murder, non-negligent manslaughter. These are some of the numbers. I'm just going to give you a few because I'm not going back to the 1900s. Anyway, I'm going to go from 2014. We have 14,164. 2015, 15,883. This is homicide, y'all. 2016, 17,413. 2017, 17,824. In short, since 1998, the least amount of homicides committed in America was.
I'm having the slightest idea what that is.
Okay, we're back. Seem to be having some technical difficulty there. Anyway. Criminal law regarding criminal homicide. The definition of willful non-negligent killing is the killing of a human being by another. As a general rule, any death caused by injuries received in a fight, argument, quarrel, assault, or commission of a crime is classified as murder and non-negligent manslaughter. Just for clarity, we're going to compare this to the Vietnam War. I think that we all should be familiar with the Vietnam War. Vietnam casualties. They said the total casualties for Vietnam War, which is about a 12 or 14-year-old war, depends on how you're looking at it. We're going with 12. Total, 58,220. This includes men formerly classified as MIA, or men who have subsequently died of their wounds, homicides, declared dead, people who died from illness, killed in action and self-inflicted, death. So you got 58,220 divided by 12, you come out with about 4,851 people a year. And you just heard those numbers I just read about 14,000 people. So did we talk about war here? So, killed in action, they said there were 40,934. Divide that 40,934 by 12, you get 3,411 a year. This is war now we're talking about. So, you expect folks to be killed because that's what war is. Blacks killed in action, they said it was 7,243 divided by 12, you get 603 a year. Whites, 49,830 divided by 12, you get 4,152 a year. Hispanic, they made out, even though any death is, all deaths are tragic, but they were only counted as 349 killed in action. So from provocative thought, and they say that we are not at war, yet our casualties indicate that we are constantly at war. if Vietnam was a hostile, scary, hellish place to be, where are we living? Again, we are way past gone too far. Someone told me a story about a man who shot and murdered a man in the presence of community members, then proceeded to threaten the members of the community as he casually walked away, saying something like, "Y'all better not say nothing." That's not a good look. No fear of killing, no fear of being identified as a perpetrator, no fear of threatening the community, no fear of retaliation, no fear of law enforcement happening upon the scene of the crime. It's almost like he had a license to kill. What are we raising in our community? What have we done? What have we not done? Have we become dissociative to the trauma in the community? Is this a result of the no snitching culture? What about the drug culture? What about having no culture? From the American Sociology Association, culture is the languages, customs, beliefs, rules, arts, knowledge, and collective identities and memories developed by members of all social groups that make their social environments meaningful. Open Education Sociology Dictionary says society is a large group of interacting people in a defined territory sharing a common culture, right? Cultures, ideas, and self-concepts of a group or society, artifacts, attitudes, beliefs, customs, norms, symbols, and values in a particular place and time, passing from one generation to the next. That's very important. Norms are the rules or expectations that determine and regulate appropriate behavior within a culture, group, or society. Values are a belief, idea, or principle that a person or group has that determines is correct, desirable, and proper. Sociology guy says community is the characteristics of a community are territory, close and informal relationships, mutuality, common values and beliefs, organized interaction, strong group feeling, cultural similarity. Malcolm X said, "If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything." The poet Noor, to quote, "We have fallen from heights not yet achieved, for some never envisioned, and for others not in their wildest dreams." Seems like we have no sense of anything, no sense of mind, community, or culture. This exhibition of a total disregard for life is indicative of our need to save ourselves from ourselves. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." On the strength of it takes a village to raise a child, we have failed many on many levels. We most definitely have to start at the beginning. Remember, children are the future, but if you corrupt them, you corrupt the future of our people. We would all like those guilty of taking the life of our loved one to be brought to justice, incarcerated, or executed, but that will not bring them back. It is not enough to stop the bleeding. We must internally and eternally eradicate the threat. Now, some geniuses came up with the idea of making it a crime not reporting crime, some fine law, failure to report laws. In most states, failure to report isn't illegal, but a small minority of states have enacted laws punishing individuals who fail to report certain types of crimes. Under Texas law, for example, you can be charged with a Class A misdemeanor for failing to report an offense that resulted in serious bodily injury or death. In Ohio, on the other hand, it's illegal to knowingly fail to report a felony. Well, we're just going to keep it real. From Provocative Thought again, witnessing a criminal act and not reporting it should not be a crime. The crime is how legislators and law enforcement criminalizes individuals they cannot protect for not reporting a crime. Stop making laws that criminalize people who are not committing crimes. What about holding law enforcement to that standard when officers, when other officers commit crimes or they witness officers committing crimes? You can legislate whatever you want, but self-preservation supersedes any law put on the books. It may be moral, ethical to report a crime, but it is logical to preserve the life you have or the people you care about. Maybe people are not reporting these crimes because it is happening to people they don't care about. Maybe law enforcement doesn't care about them either. Maybe law enforcement can't protect the people who do not report heinous crimes. Maybe there is not enough law enforcement personnel and technology. Maybe he got what he deserved. Goodbye, good riddance. Maybe nobody knows who did it. Maybe it happens so much, too much, that some of us, citizens and law enforcement, have become desensitized or complacent and have accepted homicide as a common occurrence, a part of the cycle of life in a trauma-based community. Maybe they plan to handle with it themselves. One thing is for sure, we have a problem, a really big problem. What happens when a crime of this magnitude goes unpunished, unaddressed, or unaccounted for? People learn that they can get away with murder again, again, and again. Life ain't worth a wooden nickel. We know that there are many other factors that influence, impact, and contribute to the murder rate, but there are no excuse for this Twilight Zone. From safety.com 2017. While the majority of Americans report that they believe Chicago is the most dangerous city in America, they say looking solely at the murder rate per capita, Philadelphia could be considered one of the most dangerous big cities in America with a murder rate of 21.5 per 100,000 people. 6 ABC News says by December 4th, 2018, people, 316 have been murdered in Philadelphia in 2018 than in all of last year, that's 2017, when the homicide rate was 315. The Philadelphia Police Department crime mapper stated the total number for 2018 was 351. It is the highest since 2017, which it was 391 homicides. 3, CBS Philly said almost 1,400 people have been shot across the city in 2018, which is a 12% increase previous year. Philly police say 60% of murders investigated in 2018 remain unsolved. That is a lot. This is by Bobby Allen, written in 2018. He says about 4 out of every 10 cases in Philadelphia detectives investigated this year ended with a suspect's arrest. So the killers who committed 60% of the homicides in 2018 remain on the loose. The homicide clearance rate is described as clearance. That means that they had a suspect and they arrested him, right? They said the homicide clearance rate is how police refer to the number of murder investigations that result in arrests. In 2018, 44% of homicide cases ended with a suspected perpetrator in custody, according to statistics from the officials provided to WHYY. The clearance rate, well below the national average, comes as the city tallies more homicides this year than it has in more than a decade. This is 2018, because I don't have anything for 19. The national homicide clearance rate is around 60%, according to the FBI data. The national homicide clearance rate, people arrested for homicide, is 60%. So, you know, 40 and 60 is 100. So that means it's 40% of those homicides, those persons who are or people who committed homicides have not been addressed. And we don't know who did it. We don't know if it's multiple or anything like that. But we're just looking at homicides and things like that. We're not just specifics of it. So in Philadelphia, the rate has been below 50% for some time. Last year, it stood at 42%. In 2016, 45% of the murders investigated ended in arrest, according to police department statistics. A string of retirements last year in homicide unit brought the number of detectives working the murder cases to 61. So we got like, is it 300-something murder cases, 61 homicide detectives working them. Historically, no number, they said that's a historical low number. In response, top police brass promised it to beef up the unit ranks. Now about 80 detectives are working on the unit. Research into the homicide investigation show that solving a murder depends on how fast officers get to the crime scene, how many witnesses are located, how many detectives are assigned to the case, and sometimes just how motivated detectives are to solve the killing. Not too long ago, in 2013, Philadelphia police investigators captured murders 70% of the time. That's a hell of a turnaround. Is it because the old guys that were trained left and they had fewer guys working and now they got a bunch of new guys there? Is it a change in the attitude? Yeah. Which is it? We don't know. Since then, the arrest rate has been dropping, which in turn erodes public confidence in police, they say. This is according to Temple University criminal justice professor Jerry Ratcliffe. Since the homicide clearance rate is the one measure that really sends a signal to the community about the effectiveness and how much they're able to deal with the aftermath of violent crime, Mr. Ratcliffe said. Ratcliffe also says that police requirements that started in 2014 from a deal with the ACLU may still be having an impact. Under the new policies, homicide interrogations are video recorded and potential suspects are permitted to leave the questioning at any time. The rules were aimed at providing safeguards to a suspect's civil rights and to ensure false confessions are not coerced, although Ratcliffe says the police complicate murder investigations. And since it's the policies complicate murder investigations when nobody involved is eager to speak with authorities. That's interesting right there, because we don't want, because you're not helping the community go for an conviction. You need to get the perpetrator. You don't get a perpetrator. Getting a perpetrator it does not solve anything in the community, because that's the same as not getting the perpetrator. That's an unsolved crime if you have the wrong person admitting or confessing to a homicide or any crime. So that's a no-no. You don't beat or force a confession for a crime that's not a person that may not have been guilty of. That's not helping it. That's not helping. And I'm not blaming this on the police, because this is, by the time the police get involved in it, this is after the fact. Somebody lost a family member, a brother, a friend, a son, you know, a husband or something. You know what I'm saying? An uncle. So this is all very tragic. By the time these guys get in it, they're just looking for the perpetrator. They had an impact on the homicide unit's ability to clear cases, they said. So why would videotaping and, safeguards to a suspect's civil rights impair the police department's ability to get a conviction, or get the suspect anyway? That doesn't make any sense to me, but unless the police are doing something they're not supposed to be doing, so they had to throw this in there. You know, to you guys out there, I know it's difficult, but do your job in a proper manner so that things don't get thrown out of court because you did something illegal. Because you coming because somebody has done something, illegal. Somebody has broke the law. Don't break the law to keep the law. Anyway. This not being a show about police in particular. They also went into, the thing about how part of the blame is on the stop snitching culture and this street code of silence. But as I previously stated, if you can't protect the people from the community, you can't really expect a lot of them to just come up and say, hey, that's the guy right there that shot that guy in the head in front of everybody. Because you only get one life. He said, we've had a no snitching kind of campaign for a number of years, pretty much since he's been in Philadelphia, certainly the last 10 to 15 years, and that's inhibited the capacity of detectives, he said. So that's playing a role in it. Some police officers put part the blame on the high rate of unsolved murders on understaffing in the homicide department and cutbacks on overtime. Okay? From USA Today, 2018. Can't have this conversation without talking about Chicago. Chicago police solved fewer than 1 in 6 homicides committed in the city in the first half of 2018, continuing a troubled decline in the number of perpetrators being brought to justice in one of the nation's most violent cities. Chicago homicide clearance rate, the percentage of cases in which police arrest and identify suspects, fell from 17.1% in 2017 to 15.4% during the first 6 months of 2018. Police in the nation's third largest city are having endless success solving non-fatal shootings, according to the data obtained through the Freedom of Information Act request. That's non-fatals. The statistics just go up. With the non-fatal shooting, that's with the people that are just getting shot. They're not dying. Police cleared 50 of 900 non-fatal shooting incidents in the first half of 2018 at a rate of 5.6%. 50 out of 900. Okay. That puts them on a pace to solve fewer than 9% of non-fatal shooting incidents for the fourth year in a row. Top officials in the department of 3,500 sworn officers say the clearance rate reflects an alarming dynamic in the violent neighborhoods of Chicago's west and south sides. Shooting victims often forego cooperation with authorities to seek retaliation on their own. He said that fuels more violence, police say, which I can see that. You shoot at me, I'll kill you. Or I shoot back at you until one of us is murdered, right? You kill me, my friend wants to kill you. People that support me want to kill one of you or your friends. So that thing just keep going back and forth. Long as till you just kill each other out, I guess. And is that the plan? Is that a plan or is that just something we've just come to because it's happening everywhere? Deputy Sheriff Brandon Dennehan says, heads of Chicago Police Department's Detective Division says, and offenders are often interchangeable. That makes sense. That's like gang war. You got a guy, you shoot one gang, shoots at another gang, that gang shoots at that gang, right? So, or that group, or that clique, or whatever, however you want to look at it. So, yes, they're all victims and they're all offenders. That makes sense. I see why that's happening. And people taking the law into their own hands. These guys are guys who are shooting back and forth at each other, they say, on a constant basis. On a constant basis. Shooting back and forth at each other on a constant basis. Sooner or later, somebody's going to end up dead. They're not afraid to go to court and testify. They just want to get even with the people who shot at them. Falling clearance rates are not just a Chicago problem. They say the national clearance rate for homicide fell to 59.4% in 2016, the lowest since the FBI began tracking them in 1965. In Indianapolis, where the murder rate has surged, the Metropolitan Police Command staff have called on outside experts to help with the growing number of unsolved homicide. What is happening in Indianapolis? In the Midwest, city has seen its clearance rate tumble from 66% in 2014 to 40% last year, according to an analyst by the Indianapolis Star, a member of the USA Today network. Phoenix saw its homicide clearance rate tumble from 90% in 2013 to 57% last year. Department is hoping to add more detectives soon to bolster its case unit. It's a cold case. Cold case, that's people killed. They had no suspect. No arrest. Nothing. The clearance rate has climbed to 62.3%. In the first half of 2018, there hasn't been a significant change in working with witnesses and the community over the years to solve these cases, Phoenix of Police Sergeant Mercedes Fortune said. We understand the importance of our community partnerships and continue to foster that relationship. I'm just going to say, like, safety is a priority. That's the law of nature. Self-preservation, and you can't preserve these people, you know, you can't protect them, you can't really expect for them to be going around just making it known that I'm telling the police that you murdered about two or three people in the neighborhood. That's a dangerous situation. Deputy Chief Brendan Dennehan, also heads of the Chicago Police Department Detective Division, says that the city's low homicide clearance rate is the result of witnesses of shootings and frequently cooperating with the police. I'm saying there are many reasons why people might not choose to cooperate with the police. You got to understand that. It's a problem. But the community seems to be just butt naked in terms of safety. No one's safe. Clearance rates have been in the spotlight in Chicago, which suffered 650 homicides last year and 762 homicides in 2016. That's more than any other city in the nation. Homicides are down about 19% so far in 2018, they said, compared to the same point last year. This article was written. The city remains on pace for more than 500 killings. This is Chicago. They said there's a lack of cooperation with residents in the predominantly low-income black neighborhoods that suffer most of the city's violence. Okay, so that's a problem. I mean, that's more than a problem of a lack of cooperation, because there's a reason for that. So, from provocative thought, there was a commentary stating that gangs and cliques occupy every three blocks in Chicago. I mean, you walk three blocks, you in somebody else's turf, it's hostile to you, and they don't know you. That could be a very hostile situation for you, too. Philadelphia had that situation in the 60s and the 70s. I remember a supermarket being a dividing line between two gangs. And on another street, rival gang members resided on the same block. Now, armed battles range within the neighborhood with no apparent borders between cliques, crews, friends, and foes. It's no more like they're down there and it's no more of that. The New York Post: Americans are getting away with murder. Found that roughly 40% of the nation's slaying went unsolved last year. The Bureau looked at 2017 crime and arrest data from 16,000 law enforcement agencies across the country and found that only 61.6% of reported murders were cleared. That's in 2016. So, this why we have it, this is just this clearance rate, right? The low clearance rate, is that a contributing factor to why we have so many murders going on? Because I don't know that these guys are concerned with the clearance rate, but maybe there are many or enough to see that they've been able to get away with committing murder. Maybe in some cases multiple homicides, and therefore they are less inclined not to murder. And you put that with the fact that they're living in a hostile environment in which, you know, aggravated assault and homicides is as frequent as jaywalking. You're going to get a lot of people murdering people. And we're going to get to that, some of that, and how we might be able to start attacking that. The FBI considers a murder case cleared when a person is arrested, charged, and turned over to the courts, right? You got a homicide. This guy seems to be the guy that did it. He's incarcerated. You know, it's now, right? Or when the offenders are identified but cannot be arrested because they died. Okay, we have a perpetrator, but he's dead. So, you know, like, you shot somebody and we came in, the cops came and shot you. You're dead. So, right, you're not going to the courts. You're going to the morgue, right? Or the suspect cannot be extradited. I guess he fled the country. Can't catch him, right? So, but they know, they identify, basically the theme here is they have identified the perpetrator. So, that leaves 38.4% of the 15,657 murders reported nationwide unsolved. That's 6,012 in all, according to the FBI data. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people, because if you go back to these wars that I was just talking about, we have more people dying yearly, being murdered in our country yearly, than when you do the mathematically of, because I'm not saying that that's an exact number. I'm just mathematically in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, and this is a war, is a place where you go to kill people. That's where you have a green card to murder people. Here we are, supposedly in a civilized environment, and we dwarf those numbers. Like, those numbers are nothing in terms of the homicide, the yearly homicide rate here in non-wartime. Can I even say that? I mean, I guess a guy that's really been at war might debate that this is not war, but we sure have numbers, an environment where war is being carried out. You know, our numbers, not as many people are dying in wars that are dying in so-called peacetime in America. So what is wrong with Americans or America? Because I'm sure these people weren't born this way. So what is facilitating and perpetuating this murderous attitude? Anyway, law enforcement success rate in the area has been slipping for a decade, they said, from a high of 66.6% clearance in 2009. Meanwhile, they call that a high, 66.6% clearance rate. Meanwhile, the country's murder rate has climbed over the same period, from 5 per 100 people in 2009 to 5.4 in 2017. That may seem like a small amount, because it seems like that to me, but that's a lot of people. I understand that. And even one is one too many. New York State's 2017 murder rate was far lower than other states, often perceived as safer. About 2.8 out of every 100,000 residents in New York were killed last year. By comparison, Ohio's rate was 6.1, Alabama 8.3, Missouri 9.8, Washington, D.C. 16.7. Meanwhile, big city cops are generally solving murders better than their Mayberry counterpart. Mayberry, that's like small town. I don't know if some people might be listening, might not even heard of Andy Griffin's show. Andy Mayberry just means that's a little small town. So they said the big city cops, New York, Philly, Chicago, Detroit, L.A., stuff like that, are solving murders better. But I just read to you, Philly's not doing too well. So the Mayberry counterparts are not doing as well as the big cities, or as good as Chicago or Philadelphia. That's a serious problem. Police in cities with more than 1 million residents cleared 69.1% of murders in 2017, compared to 57.1% in cities with 500,000 to 999,000 residents. Similar cities didn't fare much better. Municipalities with 25,000 to 49,999 residents got close to big city success rates, with 63.5% of murder cases cleared. Are they saying, is this 60-something percent favorable, or is it me? Because that sounds like that's not good. 60% of all murders cleared. That's That didn't sound like a good thing to me, 63.5%. I don't know, is it me? Anyway, New York saw 292 murders or non-negligent manslaughter cases in 2017. A little over half the 522 murders reported in 2008 data show. The New York Police Department cleared, now this is good right here, 85.3% of its murders. 249 out of 292. Now that's a good number. That sounds better than 60 something. This, you know. So how were they able to do that? How was New York able to clear those murders? Did they have community participation? Did they have individuals who were not more interested in letting the police handle the situation in terms of revealing who the perpetrator were? Do they have a more dedicated homicide unit? Do they have better technology? You know, what happened in 2017? Anyway, murders accounted for just 1.4% nationally of the 8 index crimes FBI tracks, right? The index crimes are homicide, forcible rape, robbery, burglary, aggravated assault, larceny, motorcycle or vehicle theft, and arson. Aggravated assault accounts comprise 65% of violent crimes. So, and you can look at the aggravated assault in different ways, you know. While robbery was 25.6% and rape was 8%. Aggravated assault, I mean, that's just you were not murdered. You didn't die from your injury or from the attack away from a homicide. That's what an aggravated assault is. That's an assault, but the person didn't die. We have a caller. I'm sorry. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
What's up, Carl?
What's up, Kenny?
Yeah,
I feel like I'm reading an obituary tonight, man. I feel like I'm reading an obituary tonight.
Hey, you know how they did break? You know how NYPD did it? This is arresting everybody. You know,
how
did the NYPD clear their murder rate? They arrested
everybody. I can hardly hear you. You're a little into whatever you're talking to. Turn it up or something.
You hear me now?
That's a little better. That sounds a little louder.
The NYPD is kind of, it's a funny police institution. I've been knowing NYPD for most of my life. And they will either, even if you didn't do the crime, you're going to do some time. Because they already arrested you. They already put the paperwork in. You already been through the system. And you're going to do a little time. They're not going to let all of that go to waste. The NYPD, now, I don't know about the NYPD now in 2020. I'm talking about the NYPD of the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. There were some funny dudes, even with a black police commissioner. Hello?
We learned that that's just a color in some positions, right?
Yeah. And so
that's just a shade of skin.
Even
that's all
if
that
you
is.
Didn't do the crime, they were making Shaka was doing something the past 2 or 3 weeks called the New Jim Crow Laws. In reading that book, people would do, will just plead out because they had the money for a lawyer. They had the money to go to trial. Even if they didn't do it, they still, it would be easy just to plead, take the time, do a couple years, and come out versus doing 20 years. That's your option, 2 versus 20. Now, which one would you choose?
Meanwhile,
and that's the NYPD.
That
is the New York City criminal justice system, huh?
Meanwhile, the actual murderer is still walking around.
Yes. And what makes it so bad? They know they got the wrong guy. These detectives ain't stupid, but, like, hey, they put all their resources on you. Hey, you're gonna have to go. Just like the Central Park Five. You five young, they're grown men now. They're in their 40s and 50s now. But they were teenagers then. They were accused of raping a white girl. Five young black boys was accused of raping a white girl in Central Park. They had no stone cold evidence. 20 years later, she said she told a lie. What's going to happen to that white girl? Nothing. But these guys are released after doing 20 years in, 20 years off the streets? You come back, you go in at 20, you come out at 40.
And
that's the NYPD. That's the New York City Criminal Justice.
Apparently, they've recognized that that type of thing goes on, which is why they put the cameras in, and they said that the suspects can walk out. Which I would like to see somebody walk away from the police trying to question them.
Say that again,
Especially
Carl.
In the police district.
What did you just say?
That's probably why they put the they have this system where they have the interrogations are filmed.
Oh, come on, Carly. So what? Really?
I'm just saying
film.
That's why they made that.
It's film. So what? Let me tell you something. This is what I learned. Once those bracelets go on you, it's hard getting them off of you. Once those silver bracelets go on you, it's hard getting them off. Once they take you in, it's hard coming home. It's hard
okay,
coming
that's
home.
Scenario about trouble, right?
Yes.
Easy to get into, hard to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, that's how the NYPD, I was listening on the laptop, that's how the NYPD cleared their rate. You know, if you fit the description, if you come close to it, you're going. They ask questions later, much, much later, like decades later.
Oh, okay. I see your angle. So basically, this you said in 2017, they probably just got a lot of innocent people locked up.
You know what? I'm not going to go as far. I just say people that are locked up are innocent, but I am going to say that the majority of them don't need to be doing the time they're doing compared to other cultures. I mean, if you break the law, you break the law. I mean, if you're going to be in the game, whatever your game is, and you get caught, you're going to have to just do the time. You know, but you're going to get more time than the average.
Right.
And don't let it be crime against white folks. Oh, my God. You really go just, you might never, He might not never see the bricks again. He might not never see the outside again. No.
Well, amazingly, they said New York has the lowest overall crime rate of all the 25 largest cities.
Well, know how they did that?
Yeah, I would like to know how they did that, because it seemed like somebody would be duplicating that.
If you can't afford to live in the five boroughs, you'll be living.
Ooh.
You'll be going to the state of New Jersey, the state of Pennsylvania, or the state of Connecticut. You will not be living within the five boroughs, or you'll be going to upstate New York to live.
Oh, that's an interesting point right there. So you change the community, you change the crime rate.
And they changed. Look, there is
wow.
two historical black communities, Harlem and Bedford-Stuy. I know them both well, very, very well. Now, Harlem was in the hands of black folks from, I'm going to say, like late 1800s as well, 1880-something, well, for Bed-Stuy, black folks. Thriving community, you know, it has some problems through the years, what have you. You go there now, you never thought that a black person ever lived there. Now, I'm telling you what I see with my own eyes. This is no book reading. This is no newspaper article. This is things that I have seen with my own eyes and how I did it. They brought in all kinds of cultures from all over the world to buy property, jack up the rents and the mortgage. A house that used to cost $150,000 now costs $3 million. You got white folks jogging with their poodles in Bed-Stuy.
Where did they move?
Bed-Stuy do or die. Ain't no Bed-Stuy do or die no more.
So where did the people move to? You know what area they moved to?
Oh, yeah. They moved to other states. They go to the state of Jersey. They go upstate New York. They might go to Virginia. They just move. They just move out of the area because they can't. They just pick up and leave. And then they make it hard for you. They make it hard for you if you have, the credit, convictions or anything. They put all the legislature in there that made it difficult for folks to rent or buy property.
Mm.
And when I say folks, I talk about folks that look like you and me. I've seen it happen.
I know what you mean by folks.
I've seen it happen.
It took
them 10 years to turn the community. Now,
wow,
you go to an elementary school where it used to be all black. Now it's Indian, Asian, white, Pakistani, Afghan. You know, it's all you talk about multicultural. It's very multicultural. But it ain't us. We might have pockets, but it's very few pockets. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so what do you think about the homicide rate in the black community?
Well, we gotta stop killing each other. That's the thing. And when we continue to kill each other, it make it easier for Like I have this old conspiracy thing. I mean, to lead up to this whole gentrification, you bring in the drugs, the crack, the heroin. Here come the gangs. Here come the gang wars. You shoot each other. Now they're kicking your families out of the communities because of association. Because of association. Now you lose your apartment, people losing their homes, Now you have to move. Hey, family by family, block by block, area by area. And it's going to happen in Chicago, too. They think they've done the approach. Look, if other coaches could take over Harlem, they made movies about Harlem. If they could take over Harlem and D.C., they could take over anywhere. It's just that we have to change our behaviors. Again, we have to change our thinking and our behaviors.
So how will we do that, though? I mean, like, you know.
Hey, man.
Now, I mentioned some things about culture and, you know, developing norms and, you know, ethics and, you know, internalizing these things in terms of the members of the community and particularly the youth of the community. So, you know,
well,
but, you know, you can
take a page
teach a child
out of the Asian community.
Huh?
Take a page out of the Asian community. You got to start with the 3 and 4 year olds.
Mm.
They are smart enough that, I mean, 2 and 3 year olds could work a phone, an iPod. They could work that. If they could do that, they could comprehend about behavior. That's what the Asians do. They start at 2, 3 years old. And some of us might be gone. It may not be happy. You know, you can't leave nobody behind. We got to leave some people behind. That's I hate to say that. You know? You got to start as early as 2 and 3. That's what the Asians do. And they're number one in technology. And number one is science. That's the competition. And this is the world that we're living in now. It's very competitive, you know. And we're in next to last place.
Okay, so we start with the child from the womb, right? What do we do? How do we defend or protect the child against things that he's going to encounter outside of his family? You know, we have all these subcultures.
Yes, we do. You know, I think that's American culture. That's just American culture. And you just got to give them the foundation. And whatever your foundation fundamentals are, there is no right answer. It's your belief system. As long as it's on being progressive and straight and narrow, building the family, community. You know, it's like one household at a time, man. One kid at a time. You know, we got to go back to the basics because it's really getting serious, man, because, like, I was at event.
Oh, we way past serious.
Huh?
We are way past serious.
I was at an event the other day. It was a bunch of these tech kids, these technology kids. All Asian, all Indian, Pakistani, Middle Eastern, whites, pockets of blacks, pockets. Maybe a handful. And I said, you know what? We're losing. Just like you don't call. I've been a coach for 27 years. I always told you about the eye test. It's like what you look at. We look at an athlete, the way he runs, the way he catches the ball, the way he pivots, whatever. You got to use your eye test. Just from the eye test, we're losing. Oh, we might got that little entertainment world down, but not everybody makes it. Thousands makes it through the tech world. One way, in one facet or the other. Don't want to say that we have to live in their communities in order to make it. I don't want to say that. I'm against that. You know, we really, our people that have the knowledge really got to teach that knowledge to others. Instead of integrating the other cultures that don't want us.
So basically, so the word community, I was talking about some of the attributes of community. And I hate to say it, but I don't really see that in the hood.
You don't see it?
No, I don't see community. I don't see much of the attributes of community. No. I see people doing what they want to do. And matter of fact, it's getting worse. Matter of fact, because back when I was coming up, an adult could come out and say something to you. Now we have people, children, who will attempt to assault an adult or, you know, make an assault on your property because you try to correct them or, you know, like you ask somebody to, you know.
But that's not all about children.
No.
That's just
I'm not talking about all about
percentage.
Children. I'm talking about our community.
Huh?
I'm telling you about the community, and I'm saying back when I was coming up, that didn't happen. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So that's enough.
We didn't mess up our own. We didn't mess up our own. We're going to mess up somebody else's stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying what I'm saying is that, you know, we had more respect for people in our community when I was coming up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have more respect for the elders.
Yeah. We have respect for the mothers.
None of that. Like, you know, I just read a story about, that's a true story. Guy murdered a guy in front of people and then told the people, y'all better not say nothing. That's a true story.
Well, you
know
what?
I don't know who the guy is, but it's a story.
But who do we blame for that? We can't blame the white man for that. We got to blame
us. I didn't say nothing about a white man.
Yeah.
I'm not
even
talking
about a white
man.
We got to blame us for that. But we created that monster. Now we have to kill that monster. We created that monster. Our generation created that monster in the 80s. We did. Now, to slay that monster. We created
funny
that.
Funny you use that word, slay.
I talk about that thinking process, that behavior.
I understand what you're saying. But that was all right, though.
We have to. We created it. We did that. We made the choice get into that kind of behaviors, that game, as the street calls the game. We did that. Nobody put a gun to our heads. We did that. Sometimes you gotta look yourself in the mirror. And say, like, damn, how did they get to this? And really be honest with oneself as a culture, as a community. We did this. We was on the rise at one time. We had America on its back. We could have gotten anything. And we succumbed to their devices.
Devices being drugs. Partying and bullshitting and self-interest?
Yeah. The disco era, good times, forgetting what the purpose is, instead of staying on the path. It's all right to have a good time. Sure, I like to have a good time and down there. But it's work. It's work.
So we just...
And we created a monster that is going like into the fourth generation. Great grandkids are out here now running the street doing all kinds of stuff they ain't got no business doing.
Right, correct. And you can't say nothing to them.
And you can't say.
Teachers
hey,
are afraid
you know,
to say
something.
The way you
get
kids.
Harder and harder. You know, you can't say a thing to them. You know, we cannot depend on anyone else to correct the situation. And then maybe, if it's not too late, maybe we get it right this time. If we learn from our history. Because if we don't, what they say, if we don't learn from the past, you might repeat it. Something like that. You're doomed to repeat it.
Those who do not learn from their past are doomed to repeat it.
Yes.
It's said many ways, but that's one of the ways.
Yeah, basically. And we got all kinds of barriers and challenges. We have all kinds of enemies and whatnot. But if you look at our history, we defeated it all. Until the 80s was the beginning, almost. If we continue on this path, in 2056, in 2060, we would not be in existence. As we know, as a black man of the day.
It went down again. Your voice went low.
If we continue on this path that we're on, by 2060, as you know, of the black man will not exist.
Well, what I'm seeing with a certain population is it's not good. You know, I had a conversation with a guy, real conversation. Said, how come y'all shoot and murder each other so much? Young boy on the street. I didn't even know him, really. I had to ask, because it sounds so bizarre. Seems so bizarre, all the shooting that was going on. And he said, because if you fight somebody, all he going to do is go home and get it. If he lose, he going to go home and get his gun. So we just skip that. Skip the fight and go straight to the, you know, gunfight. Skip the fist fight, go straight to the gunfight. What are you going to do with that?
And what makes it so bad is everybody want to pick up a gun.
Yeah, because now you could be the baddest guy in the neighborhood, definitely, and not even know how to fight. You could be one of the most feared persons in the neighborhood, and you might not know the first thing about fighting.
As I look out, there are folks throughout this country that are trying to make a better way for us. There are community folks, religious folks, whether they be Muslims or Christians. You know, there are folks out there that are trying. They are trying to deliver a positive message to our people, but it appears that our people they're not accepting that, man. And I don't know why. You know, and you know what? I can't say it's like our generation. I can say. There are young folks, middle-aged folks, elder folks that are really trying to put forth a message.
Right. That's true. But what about the ones that aren't? How do we those are the folks we have to be worried about. We really have to be concerned about the people who are living lives that are just basically, you know, detrimental to the community, themselves and the community. Now that group, you know what I'm saying, is a concern. People who
feel, it's a concern.
Right.
And there are places for them.
What's the place we talking about?
Prison.
But they come out of prison. I mean, they come out of prison. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the solution to this is, because, like I said in, you know, earlier, that there are many things that impact on the homicide rate in the community. Understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that impact on that. But, you know,
I could tell you one thing, though. I could tell you one thing. You know who's the big enemy of us? And people really going to scorn? Media. Media glorify our pain, glorify our gains. Media glorify our negative behaviors. You know, check this out. I'm not going to mention any names. You get a young lady that is a exotic dancer. Now she's a role model for girls. Like, it's okay,
okay
to be
talking
a stripper.
About?
I ain't mentioning no names.
Okay, I saw a young lady on the internet, Cardi B, on some kind of show, and the girls were laying down on the stage with their legs open.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
She was a,
like,
she
stripper? Is mentioned. She comes on every talk show. She's on every reality show, and these girls dress like her, try to look like her, and everything. Like, what? Instead of looking like, even the teachers are trying to look like her. You know, like, even the people that, even the preacher wives are trying to look like her. I mean, okay, cool. She make her money. She went through a way, another way, got her fame. Cool, cool. I'm not knocking that. But why you got to plaster her as a role model?
Who
Michelle
who
Obama
as her
as
a role model? Who says she's a role model? That's what I want to know.
Well, if she's all over the talk shows, see, media did have this subliminal message. Look at her. Look at her. You know.
No,
you could become
so women want to be seen, and this person is being seen. So in order to be seen, you have to be like this person.
Yeah,
that way go for some women, because I know all women don't have that look.
No, all women. A lot of women have their own thinking, especially black women. You know, but it's crazy. It's everybody want to be a rapper. Everybody want to be in the NBA. You know, everybody would be a gangbanger, because they glorify gangbangers. But
yeah, that's the part right there. That's the part right there I'm trying to get, because everybody know gang war means that you at war. War means somebody's trying to hurt you. You're trying to hurt somebody. You got jail. You got the hospital waiting on you. You got the curb rating on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you ascribe to being a gangbanger?
The media, let me tell you something. That media is something else. The media is also a part of our problem. The traditional media is part of our problem, as always been. That's how come anybody they put out, they even try to tell us, oh, this is your leaders. This is your leaders. Man, they ain't my leader. I mean, cool and everything, but he ain't my leader.
Well, you know, they're saying that basically a lot of the homicides happening in the black community, and they're the least likely racial group to have their killings result in arrest. Black people.
Yeah, I believe that. Coco, like, it's just another black dude that's dead. We don't have to worry about this one. Well, he won't become a politician. Oh, he won't become a corporate leader. He won't become a teacher. We don't have to worry about this one. Forget it. A black man's life doesn't mean nothing in this society. I keep on telling y'all that. I don't know where y'all gonna get through your thick heads. A black man's life, a dog life is worth more than a black man's life.
Well, you know, somebody look at that and say, make look at the statistics and say, well, a black man's life don't mean a lot to some black men.
True. But we fall into that thing like, yo, he did something to me. I'm going to go shoot him. I'm going to kill me something tonight. That's that thinking, man. That's that
and
negative.
I understand that. I understand that. That's what people do, right?
That's that negative imagery, too. That's that negative imagery also you got to look at.
Right. That's what they do. Somebody kill somebody that you care about, right? That's a common reaction for some.
Well,
hold on,
Carl.
It's not unusual.
But sometimes.
Do you have to?
People don't even need a reason to go out killing a brother, another brother. I was watching
right.
this documentary a couple of years ago, right? About this little 12-year-old that was taping this gang activities. This one dude that was in the passenger seat said, "Oh, I feel like killing me an end tonight." Just off the bat, like, really? That's how much I lied. Like, to feel like killing another black person.
Life is not worth a wooden nickel. Q, did you want to say something?
No, yo, go ahead, man. I took too much time, man.
Let me see if Q wanted to say something.
Yeah, I just want to say, you're talking about the, you know, the hazards of cooperating with the police. I just want to say that they have some options for people, not just parading out in front and pointing fingers at people, but they have an anonymous phone line that you could call and things like that, and the reward system and yada, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
okay, that's good to know.
Back to what Kenny was saying about the about how some of these law enforcement agencies are getting these convictions with people who are innocent and everything like that, and they're just pleading out. You know, the bail system, you know, it's a corrupt system. Everybody agrees. Most people agree with that. There's an effort across the United States to get that abolished, to get the bail system, you know, pulled out. Because like you said, people are, you know, weighing their options of doing 2 years or getting convicted with a lot of years, you know. So they're trying to get that thrown out so you can try to fight your case while you're out on the street instead of trying to survive in prison. That's the one thing about that. Because I want to emphasize that there's a lot of people who are innocent. You know, a lot of people who are not just, you know, haven't been convicted of a crime, serving a lot of time, and haven't actually gone to trial. You know, people who have nothing to do with the whole thing altogether, and they locked up. They serving time waiting on the trial to come because they can't make bail. That's wrong. Another thing I want to say about Harlem and all those other places where they moved all those people out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any bad way about that, man, because you got yourself a community there and you let the people take over, you know, who are just like, you know, harming everybody, you know, they're a threat to the community and everything like that. Hey, somebody move you out, you kind of set yourself up for that. You know?
Right. Don't give people ammunition to do things to you, right? Right or wrong, right?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Right. Well,
I'm imagining that a lot of people in Harlem weren't homeowners, or that they raised the taxes up so high that those who were homeowners couldn't afford it anymore, or they made it something lucrative enough that they would sell their home and move.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something too, fellas. You know they've been trying to get North Philly for a long time. They've been trying to get North Philly to become Temple Town. Temple University wanted North Philly all the way to 33rd, to Center City, and up to, what's that other block, other avenue up,
Erie?
Wow, since I've been, that Erie, begin with a T.
Give me the who?
It's from Temple all the way to 33rd,
Cuyahoga?
To Center City. And I can't. No, it's past Erie. It could be Erie. One of them avenues for years. If y'all don't
Allegheny.
Care, if y'all not careful, they might just get it.
Well, they're working their way up.
Oh, they started already, huh? Well,
yeah, they're working their way up.
Well. You know what? If they're working their way up, guess what? You have lost. You have lost.
Well, they did it. Because all those people who come up there and decide they don't want to live like that anymore, they went to school, they went to Temple, they went to Cheney, Westchester, Lincoln, they got their degrees, and guess what? They didn't go back home. They moved someplace else.
Hold it right there. You took me to a flashback, Q.
We got 90 seconds,
y'all. I remember I was 15, 16 years old, and my godfather said, you go to that white school, learn what you can, and you bring it back to the community. That message not being sent to these young brothers and sisters today. It's all about making your money now instead of coming back and rebuilding your community.
I agree with you.
We
got to
get back.
I agree with you, except to the point where we just said, when you come back to the community, there's an element in the community that's going to try to victimize you because you look like you got something they want and nobody's going to help you.
Okay. On that note,
Ben
y'all,
Wallace,
I got to close up.
Ben
I got 30
Wallace,
seconds.
Okay.
Ben
okay.
Wallace went
we
to
got
school
30
here.
Seconds to go, brothers.
He went to college. He went to the NBA. He ain't come back either way. He moved.
Good show, brother.
Sound like we need another hour. Just us three.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.